Open with me now, if you would, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And let's begin reading in verse 28. John 19, verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished." This scripture came to my mind because I sent a text to one of our ladies who was going to bring lunch to us on Saturday. And after realizing that there was nothing we could do, I wanted to let her know that there was no need in her bringing lunch. We're not going to have a work day. And her reply to me was, "Well, this is a first. This is a first Saturday of nothing to do. We've been waiting on these, and here they are. Nothing to do." I said, "I know, that's pretty exciting, isn't it?" She said, "Yes, it is. Yes, it is." And for a minute there, we both entered into the glory of what it means to say, "It is finished. It is finished." Now, here's the reason why I want to look at John 19:30 tonight. It's because I believe I have a very clear and important illustration and truth for us to see tonight. And this illustration of truth is the difference in man's works and God's works. That's what this will show us. It comes down to the difference of false religion, which is idolatry, lies, error, a false hope of salvation, and the truth of God's Word, the truth of the Gospel, the only truth that actually saves people, the only one that actually saves. And I'm going to go ahead and show you what I mean, all right? I'm going to show you this illustration so you can see what I mean right now. When our sister and I were rejoicing together the other day over nothing to do, we're done, it's great, we were sending all these exclamation points and smiley faces to each other. This is what that means for us. It means we're going to have an inspection. And I'm pretty sure they're going to tell us we need to change something. And we're going to have to fix it. And then we're going to have another inspection. And when they finally give us a CO, we're going to have to empty everything out of this building and move it over to that building. And once we get into that building, we're going to have to clean and maintain that much larger building. And we're going to have to maintain all that landscaping we just put in and that much bigger yard that we will now have. As soon as possible, we need to build a sign by the road. We don't have a sign out there yet. We need a sign. Lord willing, we're going to letter the back of the building on the interstate. We need to put letters on the back of the building. We had a list of things that needed to be done to get a certificate of occupancy. We had a list that had to be done so that we could move into it. But there is another list of things that just still need to be done. Down the road. And I want to emphasize, down the road. Okay, down the road, after we get some stamina back, we need to put a staircase in the building that goes from the upstairs to the downstairs. And we need to finish the whole basement. But we're done. It's finished. Nothing else to do. We just have a lot more work to do. It's done, but we just have a lot more work to do. All right? That is false religion. That's what false religion is. It claims a finished work that's not really done. It claims to rejoice in a finished work that's not really finished. It claims a salvation that's not really accomplished. Salvation, aren't you so glad for salvation? Now let's see to it that it happens. That's not a salvation at all. If it's not really accomplished, that's not a salvation at all. If it's not accomplished, it's not a salvation. If I have to work to maintain my finished work, if I have to work to add to my finished work, then it's not a finished work. With man, it's never going to be a finished work. If it's not a finished work, there's no hope. Charles Spurgeon said, "If I was standing at the threshold of heaven, if Christ did everything that needed to be done to get me to the threshold of heaven, but that last step was up to me," he said, "I would never make it in. I'd never make it in." If Christ did not finish the work, start to finish, finish the work, there is no hope for us. None whatsoever. It is impossible for man to finish God's work. Man will try and he will try and he will work and he will work and it will never be finished. Never. Thank God, God's ways are not man's ways. When God says it is finished, it's finished. It is finished. Somebody will say, "Well, now wait a minute. Let's think about this, all right? Christ said he finished the work of salvation. But let's make a list, all right? We have these lists. That's what we like to do. We make lists. All right, so let's make a list. What else really has to be done for us to truly enter into rest? What else has to be done? Let's make a list. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And to cry, salvation is finished, but there's still work to be done. It's finished! But there's still work to be done. That is to call God a liar. God said it's finished, and it is. Now let's take notice of some of the things that Christ finished when he said it's finished. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 10. This right here is such good news. If the Lord will let us get a hold of this, this is truly wonderful news. Romans 10. Verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And that's the problem for so many people. They have a zeal of God, but they're not truly worshiping Him according to the truth of what He has said in His Word. And what has He said in His Word? It's finished. It is finished. Verse 2 says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What does that mean, righteousness? What does that mean? That means rightness. It means correctness. It means obedience according to the law. The law saying, yes, that's obedience. Verse 3 says, they being ignorant of God's correctness. God's obedience according to the law. And going about to establish their own correctness. Their own obedience to the law. They've not submitted themselves unto the correctness and the obedience of God. Verse 4 says, for Christ. Let's ask this question here. Why did Christ come? Why did Christ come? What did Christ do? What is the good news concerning Him? Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. For correctness and obedience to God. Christ is the fulfillment. He's the end of it. We're always looking to this flesh saying, if we know something of the flesh, if the truth has been revealed to us, we look at this flesh and we say, God is not going to be happy with me. God's not going to be happy with me. I'm not even happy with me. I don't even like what I see. How could God be happy with me? Well, as long as He's looking at me, He can't be. But if I'm in Christ, He's not looking at me. Isn't that glorious news? If I'm in Christ, He's looking at Christ. He's looking at Christ's correctness. Christ's obedience to the law. And when Christ said, it is finished, what He was saying was, I have fulfilled the law for you. Everything that the law and the prophets, and I fulfilled it all. I have fulfilled and finished correctness for you. I have fully, completely given obedience to you. In me, God is happy with you. What a thing to realize. In me, God is well pleased. Well pleased, happy. Rest. You want to hear good news? In Christ, God is happy. God is satisfied. Take a break. Rest. The work is over. The work is over. Turn to Romans 8. Look at verse 3. It says, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now watch verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who walk not after the flesh, but after Christ. You say that says the Spirit. That's right. It's the Spirit of Christ. Verse 5 says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after Christ, the things of Christ. To be carnally minded is death, but to be Christ minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. You're in Christ. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness. Somebody will say, well, now you've got to have a righteousness to stand before God. That's right. And Christ said, it's finished. It is finished. Your goodness, he said, I've taken care of it. It's finished. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 11, it says, every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. When Christ said, it is finished, what he was saying was, in my blood, by the one sacrifice of myself to God on your behalf, you are forgiven. You are completely forgiven. Your sins are purged. They're gone. Verse 17 right here says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. How can God say that? How can God say that? The only way God can say that is for them to not exist. They do not exist. They are gone. You say, well, I don't even see how that could be so when I still commit them. If God looks on me at all, I just still commit them. Well, I don't see how God could see me to be faultless in Christ as I stand in this flesh right here. I don't see how God could have anything to do with me outside of Christ. Christ said, cradle to the grave in me. Your sins have been washed away. Washed away in my soul cleansing blood. By my blood, remission has been made. Remission means release from the bondage of it. If you hear about going into remission, they said, I'm in remission. That means release from the bondage of it. And our Lord said, in my blood, you've been released from the bondage of your sin. You've been given liberty. It's not on you anymore. It was on him, but he said, I put it away. Put it all away. Look at chapter 9 here, Hebrews 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Having obtained. He obtained it. Eternal redemption. Verse 28 right here says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He took them away. He put them away. And when he comes back, they will not be there. They're gone. When our Lord cried, it is finished, what he was saying was, your correctness is finished. It's accomplished. Your forgiveness is finished. It's accomplished. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." I love all of the past tense words. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Your acceptance is finished. By the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we already have acceptance with God. If you look at Ephesians 2 verse 6, it says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." He already has raised us up and made us sit together with Him. He's already done it. We're already seated with Him. Christ said, that's something that you say, how can that be? Well, Christ said we are, so we are. Again, how can I be sinless when I see all this sin on me? Christ said we are, so we are. In His blood we are. In Christ, our righteousness, our goodness, our obedience is finished. Our forgiveness is finished. Our holiness, our acceptance is finished. I wish so badly that men and women could understand that. I'm telling you, if we understand that, we take it for granted. Men and women go through this life trying to satisfy God. Trying to satisfy God. When Christ has already done it for His people. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It's finished. The end of all conflict. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's finished. He finished it. All right, so what does that leave for us to do? What does that leave for us to do? Concerning us, what did Christ leave undone? Nothing. Nothing. He came down here. He did the work. And He left nothing undone. Rest. Rest. I pray the Lord will give us rest. How many scriptures are there in this word that say, it's not by our works, it was by His works. Rest. He said, "Father, I finished the work You gave me to do." He finished all the works the Father gave Him to do. Rest. Just rest. Go with me to Hebrews 4. Our brother just read this to us. Hebrews 4. And our Lord said, I'll point this out to us, but our Lord said that if the truth of the finished work of Christ was revealed to a man or a woman, that truth would set them free. It would set them free from the bondage of the law and the bondage of sin. And He said they'll rest in the freeing liberty that's in Christ. That's my prayer. Lord, set us free. Set us free. Reveal the truth to us. Give us rest. Set us free. Verse 9, Hebrews 4, verse 9, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Don't you want that? We want it so badly. We think of all the turmoil and all the trials and all the troubles down here. And all we want is rest. All we want is rest. In glory with Him, there's nothing to do but rest in Him. There's nothing to do but worship Him. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest," if we ever enter into His rest, what it means to say He sat down. He that has entered into His rest, He also hath ceased from His own works as God did from His. Our Lord Jesus Christ said it is finished because He accomplished for His people everything that had to be done. And we look at ourselves and we just moan and groan and seeing how just incomplete we see ourselves to be. In Christ, we are complete. We are complete in Him. Verse 11 says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." Let's labor. Any time that any work or any lack or anything pops into our mind, let's remember Christ took care of it. Christ finished it. Christ paid it. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." How do we enter into that rest? How do we enter into that rest? Look at verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." What is our profession? He finished the work. Everything that needed to be done, He did it. Everything I needed to please God, He did it. Everything I needed for forgiveness, He did it. "Let us hold fast our profession." Verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Honestly, may God give us rest. May God give us rest in these three little words. It is finished. How glorious that our Lord, such small words. What a inconceivable vastness He said in three words. We'll never know the depths of everything He finished. But He said it's finished. Lord, give us rest. Give us rest in that. All right, let's all stand together.